Welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing a series of messages entitled, Running the Race. This sermon is titled, Running the Race, Fightings Without and Fears Within, and is based on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Turn with me again in your copy of God's Word to the book of Hebrews. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. This is God's word, and what is your response to the hearing of the word of God?
Amen.
Dear people of God, we have turned the calendar from 2021 to 2022. And as we have made it through the first week of this new year, I might ask the question, what sorts of goals did you have for the first week of 2022? Were you able to accomplish those goals in the first week of this new year? Maybe you had a goal to get the oil changed in your car, or maybe you like basketball and you're still in school and you had the goal to shoot 100 free throws every day this week. How did you do with your goals for this first week of 2022? But maybe you say, well, Pastor, the news of the day doesn't make me think just about the first week of 2022. It's surely something that is striking that we all need to be kept healthy, as all that seems to be coming from the news is that there is danger of sickness everywhere. Or maybe you think more about your job and what does it mean to keep my job in a topsy-turvy environment where good is called evil and increasingly evil is called good. And these are more the goals that I'm concerned about, staying healthy and keeping my job so that I can provide for my family. Well, what about your goals as a follower of Jesus? What about those goals, not just for the first week of 2022, but for the rest of the race which God calls you to run? Are you committed to gather with the saints in spite of the propaganda of fear that assaults your ears every hour of every day? Maybe as you think about 2022, you think about the need of a renewed commitment to reading God's word more regularly, the need to be greater in my devotion to prayer, even to have an increased desire to speak up for Jesus to those who desperately need to hear about the Savior. Maybe you can even think about the one thing passages in the Bible. For example, in Psalm 27 in verse 4, we hear David speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Or maybe you think of the one thing that the Apostle Paul speaks of under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, as we've started a new year, we perhaps need to be reminded of that which is most important, the one thing. the one thing, forgetting that which is behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, to actively pursue Jesus Christ all the way to the end, that you may know Him. You may know Him in the power of His resurrection. You may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means you may arrive at, attain to, the resurrection from the dead. And so we come to Hebrews chapter 12, and we hear the call of our great God to run the race which He has set before us, to run with patient endurance. But how? How? How will you run in 2022? How will you run in the second week of 2022, the race which God has set before you? Only by God equipping you to actively pursue Him all the way to the end. That's the only way you'll do it. There's no other way for you to run the race which God sets before you except for God to equip you to run that race, to actively pursue Jesus Christ all the way to the end. It was in October that we had the opportunity to look at verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, where there we saw that God equips you, His people, with feet to run the race. He equips you with ears to hear needed encouragement from those who have gone before you. He equips you with hands to remove every hindrance, every entanglement which would keep you from running the race, actively pursuing Jesus all the way to the end. And He equips you with eyes. Eyes to look to Jesus. That's the only way that you are going to actively pursue Christ all the way to the end, is if God gives you feet, if God gives you ears, God gives you hands, and God gives you eyes to keep on looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith, who for the joy that was set before Him patiently endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But I ask, what happens? What happens when the going gets tough? It sounds great that God gives me feet, God gives me ears, God gives me hands, God gives me eyes to look unto Jesus. But what happens when the going gets tough in the race? What happens when it seems like it's all uphill? What happens when there are obstacles and trials? What happens when it becomes costly to keep running? What happens when it's painful to press on? What happens when there are fightings without and fears within? How will you continue to go on? Well, that's where we come to verses 3 and 4 of Hebrews chapter 12. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Here God tells us that He doesn't just give us feet to run the race. He doesn't just give us ears to hear needed encouragement. He doesn't just give us hands to remove every hindrance to running the race. He doesn't just give us eyes to look unto Jesus as we run the race. No, He equips you to actively pursue Him to the end, especially when the going gets tough. Especially when the going gets tough. That's what verses 3 and 4 are all about. When it all seems uphill. When the going gets tough. When everything seems to be falling apart. When opposition seems to be from the right hand and from the left hand. It's then that God promises you that He equips you to actively pursue Jesus all the way to the end, especially when the going gets tough. Well, how does He do so? How does He do so in verses 3 and 4? Well, first of all, He does so as He acknowledges a very real temptation. Secondly, as He sets before you a necessary contemplation and calculation. And thirdly, as he presses home a critical truth to you today. And so the Lord equips you to actively pursue him unto the end, especially when the going gets tough. How so? Well, first of all, as he acknowledges a very real temptation, which commonly assaults the people of God. What is the temptation that we see in verse 3? Listen to it again. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Listen. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You see, God acknowledges that this is a very real temptation for you. For you who call upon the name of Jesus today. It's a temptation to be overwhelmed with discouragement in following the Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to translate it very literally, very woodenly, it would sound like this. Lest you grow weary or fatigued in your souls, resulting in you fainting, giving up, becoming disheartened and discouraged. Is that a temptation you're familiar with? Fatigue, weariness, discouragement, fainting. Well, God acknowledges that this is a temptation which his people face, in running the race which he sets before you today. When the going gets tough, how does the world put it? Well, the tough get going. But it's not so simple, is it, just to grit your teeth? No, this is a very real temptation to become weary, fatigued, even unto the point of fainting. But you might remember what Jesus says. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 16? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What is Jesus saying there? He's telling you and me that the Christian race of pursuing Christ all the way to the end involves carrying a cross. A cross. And a cross is not something pleasant to carry. A cross is a cross of affliction. A cross is a cross of opposition. And God tells us that when the cross gets heavy, we need to know that he understands. This is a common temptation of God's people. Think about Moses. Did Moses struggle with this temptation? Well, in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 11, we see that Moses struggled right here in terms of this very temptation. It's in Numbers chapter 11 that Moses is being opposed by those who are God's people. And what does Moses say to the Lord? Listen to what he says in Numbers chapter 11. Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, do this and do not let me see my own wretchedness. Huh. Even Moses struggled with becoming weary and discouraged. What about Elijah? Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, the great instrument whereby God judged the false prophets of Baal. What did Elijah do? When he heard that Jezebel was after his life And well, we read in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 3 this, "And when Elijah saw that Jezebel was after him, he arose and he ran for his life, and he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.'" You know, I was struck this week in reading through the first 31 chapters of the book of Psalms. 26 out of the first 31 Psalms are about enemies. Enemies from outside seeking to oppose the true follower of the Lord. 84% of the first 31 Psalms are about the fact that the common experience of God's people when they take up their cross to follow Jesus is that they will be opposed. A contradiction of sinners against them. Oh, but we are prone to become weary and exhausted. Maybe you could think about being a mother. There are mothers here today. Sometimes it seems like, how long, O Lord? Sleepless nights, demands on the right hand and on the left. I'm exhausted. How can I put one foot in front of the other? And as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it can seem just like that in running the Christian race. But what does God do today? What does he do for you? He acknowledges that this is a very real temptation for you. He knows. He understands. He cares. That's why he puts it in verse 3. Not to upbraid you. Not to cast you down and let you wallow in your misery. He wants you to know that he grasps and cares what's going on in terms of the temptation to faint in following Jesus. We read in chapter 10 in verse 35, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of patient endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." The Savior does not break the bruised reed. He does not quench the smoldering wick. But he comes to you today, and as he calls you to actively pursue him all the way to the end, especially when the going gets tough, he says, "My son, my daughter, I understand. I understand the temptation to throw in the towel, to give up, to faint, to grow weary." You know, 2022, as we look back at 2021, seems like there's only more darkness to come when we look with the eye of sight. And yet, God comes to you today, fightings without, fears within, and he says, "Look unto me. I understand the cost of following me in Merrimack, New Hampshire in 2022 is going to increase. And you're going to be tempted to grow weary and even to faint. Don't think I don't know. I am with you. Fear not." And so our God calls you and me to actively pursue him all the way to the end, especially when the going gets tough. And he does so by acknowledging a very real temptation that you and I face in running the race. But secondly, he does so secondly, by setting before you a necessary contemplation and calculation. A necessary contemplation and calculation. Look at verse 3 again. For consider him. Consider who? Consider Jesus. If you go back just a few verses to the end of chapter 11, listen to what God says. And all these, that is all these Old Testament saints, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us. All the Old Testament saints looked to the future fulfillment of the promises of God. They saw in very shadowy ways the coming of Messiah to rescue from sin and misery. But they did not see him who was to come, except by faith in a very shadowy outline. But God has prepared something better for you. You're tempted to grow weary, to be discouraged in your soul. God has given you something better than all the saints of chapter 11. For the one who was to come has come. And he has come, the author and the finisher of the faith, who is better than the angels, who is better than Moses, who is better than the entire Old Testament priesthood, who is better than the thousands, 10,000s, hundreds of thousands, millions of animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. This one has now come. Consider him. This one has come. The author and the finisher of the faith has now fulfilled all the promises and secured them and guaranteed them for his people. He has now endured once and for all who put their trust in him. We have something better. And God would direct your contemplation to him. If you have need of patient endurance, consider him who patiently endured all the way to the cross for you. Who endured such hostility and contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him. Carefully contemplate what he has endured. Are you tempted to faint? Are you tempted to give out? He was opposed constantly. He was opposed constantly with unrelenting hostility, opposed by word and by deed, opposed by his own people whom he came to minister to all his life long. He was opposed with hostility from sinners against himself. At his birth, there was no room for him in the inn. In his infancy, he was pursued to be put to death by Herod. In his public ministry, his teaching was opposed. His person was insulted. He was accused of being a deceiver, a liar, and being under the sway and influence of Satan. He was opposed. But what does verse 3 say? Consider him who patiently endured all the way to the end. Oh, consider the greatness of his sufferings. That's what God would say. Is the going getting tough for you? Consider what Jesus suffered. Bitter, severe, malicious, protracted sufferings, rejected, spit upon, mocked, slapped, scourged, falsely condemned, nailed to the cruel cross. One author has put it this way, the life of Jesus was one unbroken, relentless contradiction of sinners against himself. Is the going getting tough? Verse 3 says, consider him. Consider him. That in all of this opposition and hostility, he did not falter. He did not faint. He did not shrink back. But as Luke chapter 9 tells us, he set his face like a flint, going up to Jerusalem. As Mark chapter 10 says, his disciples were amazed as they saw him walk forward into the lion's den. He did not shrink back. And what does God tell us? It was all for you. He did it for you. He did it for you. He patiently and persistently and willingly endured all of this for you. What love. What grace. For sinners who love to wander and go astray. All we like sheep had gone astray. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But you know, Jesus didn't just patiently endure by gritting his teeth. No. He put himself in harm's way for you. He did not shrink back, but he didn't just have some sort of posture of defense that he was passively going through all of this hostility without responding. No, we're told that he didn't just refuse to retaliate, but we are told that he had courage and commitment to care while he endured such hostility. It's one thing to not retaliate, right? But it's another thing to care for those who are trying to kill you. Jesus' patient endurance was a commitment to care for his Father's honor and glory, a commitment to care for the sinner's salvation, a commitment to care for the binding up of the broken in body and in soul, a commitment to care for the touching of the troubled, for the relief of the wrecked, for the helping of the helpless, for the healing of the hurting, and for the reclaiming of the rebel. Oh, Jesus, as he patiently endured, he was committed to caring for you, all the way to the end. This is your Savior. And God says, when the going gets tough, I want you to consider him more thoroughly, more fully, more with faith, which is focused upon the friend of sinners. This is your Savior. Contemplate him carefully and calculate how much more suffering he experienced than you. Is the going getting tough for you? Well, this word, consider, it has the idea of calculating. Mathematically, a comparison. Will you not calculate what he endured compared to what you're enduring? And will that not encourage you? Will that not buoy you up? Will that not strengthen your faith? Oh, you may be suffering opposition. It may be getting more costly for you to follow Jesus in 2022. But calculate his sufferings compared to yours. Fightings without, fears within, consider him. Consider him. And so our God calls you to actively pursue Jesus all the way to the end. How are you going to do it when the going gets tough? You're going to do it by him reminding you that he acknowledges the very real temptation to grow weary. You're going to do it by him setting before you this necessary contemplation and calculation to consider him. But lastly, you are going to be able to pursue him all the way to the end. Because God's equipping you even when the going gets tough by pressing home a very critical truth to you today. What is the critical truth? Well, the critical truth is found in verse 4. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. What's God saying? He's telling you the race isn't over yet. Your race, which he has appointed for you, it's not over yet. It's not over. The contest, The struggle, the striving, the agonizing is not yet done. The great enemy of your soul must be and will be resisted as you pursue Christ all the way to the end. But what is this great enemy of the soul? Satan? Oh yes, he's an enemy. Persecutors? Yes, yes. These are enemies. We read about them in chapter 10. Some were put into prison. Others had their goods plundered. Trials and troubles? Yes, yes. These test us. These try us. Opposition? Obstacles, pains, problems, losses, crosses, betrayals, blasted expectations, dashed dreams, deadening disappointments. Oh, all these, we might say, are part of the trials of the Christian life. But this is not the great enemy. The great enemy is told to us in verse 4. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving, agonizing against sin. And it's not just sin. In the original text, it's against the sin. The sin. The sin of giving up. Of turning your back on Jesus. Of throwing in the towel and saying, you know what? The cost is too high. Well, Christ, He presses home the critical truth that the race isn't over yet. No, you've not resisted to bloodshed. You might have resisted significantly, but you've not paid the ultimate price. What God is telling us is this, though all are not appointed to give up their lives for Jesus, bloodshed, yet all are called to be prepared to do so. Nothing less than this is demanded by the one who gave up all for you. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It really comes back to our first reading, doesn't it? Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of patient endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And you ask, but how can I make it all the way to the end? By believing the truth. What truth? It is yet a little while to patiently endure. He who is coming shall come and will not delay. What? How do I believe? Well, I embrace and engage in the life of faith. This is the pathway. The just shall live by faith. And I recall the only alternative. What's the alternative? If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But I recommit to press on, don't I? We are not of those who draw back to destruction, but are those who believe unto the saving of the soul. Yes. All who went before us in Hebrews chapter 11, what do we read of them? By faith they were tortured. By faith they refused deliverance. By faith they had trials and mockings and scourgings and chains and prison, were stoned, sawn in two, tempted and tested, slain with a sword. They were wanderers, destitute, afflicted and tormented. And they, by God's grace, patiently endured, only seeing Jesus faintly. Not you. You see him clearly, face to face, do you not? He has come. He has come. And he has completed the work which was set before him. And so consider him. And what he has patiently endured for you, your race is not over. And God will supply every need, every resource that you need to keep on running, even when the going gets tough. Consider him and let him so motivate, enliven, empower, encourage, and fuel your patient endurance all the way to the end. It was the year 155. And a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ by the name of Polycarp was brought before the proconsul in Smyrna in Asia Minor. So he was brought before the proconsul, who asked him if he were Polycarp. He said, yes. And the proconsul tried to persuade him to deny his faith, urging, have respect to your old age. The proconsul said, swear by the genius of Caesar, change your mind and say, away with the atheists. That was the description of the Christians, because they denied all the other gods except the one true God. Then Polycarp looked with a stern countenance on the multitude of lawless heathen gathered in the stadium and waved his hands at them and looked up to heaven with a groan and said, away with the atheists. The proconsul continued insisting and said, swear and I will release you. Curse Christ. And Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who saved me? The proconsul continued to persist and say, swear by the genius of Caesar. Polycarp answered, if you vainly imagine that I would swear by the genius of Caesar as you say, pretending that you are ignorant of who I am, hear plainly this day, I am a Christian, and if you are willing to learn the doctrines of Christ, appoint a day and listen. The proconsul said, I have wild beasts. If you will not change your mind, I will throw you to them. Polycarp said, bid them be brought. Change of mind from better to worse is not a change that we are allowed, but to change from wrong to right. This is good. Again, the proconsul said to him, if you despise the beast, unless you change your mind, I shall have you burnt. But Polycarp said, you threaten the fire that burns for an hour, and after a little while is quenched. For you are ignorant of the fire of the judgment to come and of everlasting punishment reserved for the ungodly. But why delay? Do what you wish. And while speaking these words and many more, he was filled with courage and gladness. His face grew full of grace, so that not only did it not fall, agitated at all that was being said to him, but on the contrary, the proconsul was amazed. And he sent out a herald to make proclamation in the midst of the stadium 3 times round. Polycarp has confessed himself to be a Christian. And what was the response of the crowd? They yelled with one accord that he should burn Polycarp alive. And so he was bound to the stake. And he looked up to heaven and said, O Lord God Almighty, Father of thy beloved and blessed child, Jesus Christ, through whom we have received our knowledge of you, God of angels and powers and of all creation, of the whole race of the righteous who live before your face, I bless you in that you have deemed me worthy of this day and hour, that I might take a portion among the martyrs in the cup of Christ unto the resurrection of eternal life, both of soul and body in the incorruption of the Holy Spirit. Among these may I today be welcomed before your face as a rich, acceptable sacrifice, as you did prepare and manifest beforehand and did fulfill, you the faithful and true God. For this cause, and for all things I praise you, I bless you, I glorify you through the everlasting and heavenly high priest Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, through whom to you and with him and the Holy Ghost be glory now and for ages to come. Amen. How can you endure all the way to the end when the going gets tough. Not all of us will be called to give our lives at stake. But the steps of each one of your lives is not appointed by you. And we all must be willing to go to the stake, even as Jesus was willing to go to hell for us. And here today, God equips you. He equips you by pressing home a critical truth to your race is not over. And I am with you to the end. As I was with my servant, Polycarp, so many years ago, so I will be with you all the way to the end. I am your compassionate Savior who understands the temptations that you face. I am your Savior who has completed all righteousness for you. I am your Savior who exhorts you with the truth that I am with you all the way to the end. So will you consider him? Will you consider his person? Will you consider his perseverance for you? Will you consider his pains for you? Will you consider his compassion for you and his promise to you that you might pursue him all the way to the end? In 2022? Yes. And as many days as the Lord gives you life and breath to serve him, to serve him, especially when the going gets tough. Forsaking all, I trust him. Is that where you stand today? Faith. Not in yourself, not in your perseverance, but in the one who has persevered for you all the way to the end, who holds your hand all the way to the end. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire. It's at the corner of Daniel Webster Highway and Route 3, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen.